as we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word. May we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, last Sunday morning, we brought to a close a 2-year long pattern of sermon series. Who knew we were doing a 2-year long pattern of sermon series? In that time, we've actually had 5 different sermon series. They've been interspersed with other stuff, but each one has focused on one of our church values, one of the things that we say we value as a church: loving God, loving each other, loving our neighbours, celebrating and exploring. And last week, we should have had poppers and a parade, especially if we're celebrating. Last week, we were looking at the last of these values. Because we value celebrating, we appreciate one another. Now, we spent so long on them, over 2 years, exploring them in some detail, because we know that culture, the way that we do things, communicates far more about us than all the plans we make and who, why we say what we do, and everything we say, actually, the way we do things, our culture, our values, communicate far more. There's a strategy in business circles that says, culture eats strategy for breakfast. And actually, if we look over the last 2 years, as we've been thinking about these values, the things we were planning 2 years ago are strategies for the church 2 years ago. Yeah, that went well, didn't it? They've ended up in tatters. But I believe that our commitment to our values, the way we do things, has meant that we have continued to love God, love one another, love our neighbours, explore, and even find ways to celebrate, even as our plans have been destroyed by COVID. Culture eats strategy for breakfast. That's why we've spent so long really exploring these values and concentrating on them as we've continued to come closer to Christ and as we've been sent to be closer to others, which is what we say our purpose is, don't we? We are called to be closer to Christ and sent to be closer to others. Now, just because we finished 2 years' worth of sermon series doesn't mean that either we can assume, okay, the values are all sorted, we all know what they are, we're all going to live by them, that's all fine, or that we can forget about them. They continue to underpin who we are as a church, as a fellowship of believers across all the All Saints and St. Catherine's congregations and its different expressions in and around Wellington and beyond. They underpin who we are as a church. They inform how we do things. And we're responsible to each other and to God and to keep each other accountable to live by them. Now, one of the Bible readings I'd chosen for last week related the story of the anointing of Jesus at Bethany. And it's an account inspired by one of the vision images we have here at All Saints. It's up in the background as I'm talking, in which we see a Christ-centered church of faithful service, intimate worship, and friendship with God. Now, last week, after I'd spoken a bit about how we show this value of celebrating by appreciating one another, Sue shared with us that she had a sense that actually God was looking on us in appreciation and reassuring us that God loves us and looks on us with delight. And we spent some time, when I got home, Nathaniel said, why did we sing that song twice? I said, well, we sang it once and then we felt like we wanted to spend some time just soaking in that appreciation of God washing over us. And after the service, Rose came to see me and shared that she'd actually had an image in her mind. She had a bit of a picture as we sang, as we continued to have that music playing. She said this: there was a great crowd of people standing with their heads bowed, and Jesus was elevated above, holding his hands out and tears falling down on his people like a gentle river washing over us. And Jesus was saying, I know how difficult it's been these last few years. I can feel your pain. I've been listening to your prayers. It was like Jesus was filling his people with the Holy Spirit so they can be refreshed and continue on their journey. And so, as I was reflecting on this and what happened in last week's service, it seemed to me that like God was setting the scene. He was encouraging us to draw closer. It's almost like the Holy Spirit has been at work in our planning. As you see, over the coming months, we're going to have this opportunity to respond to that call to come closer, to be filled as we explore what it means to be intimate with the ultimate. We're going out of one sermon series and into this other one. It seems that there was this like crossover last week as we were thinking about appreciation, just God appreciating us and this call to come closer in intimacy with God. And it feels to me like many of us long for intimacy. To know and be fully known is one of the deepest desires of our hearts. It's one of the things that's been really difficult over the last couple of years. It's that relationships, we haven't been able to see people, and that intimacy has gone for many of us. And yet, it also seems to me that at times we fear intimacy. We fear rejection once people find out what we're really like. We fear that we're not really worth getting to know. We fear getting hurt if we make ourselves vulnerable. And yeah, intimacy is risky, but it is what we're called to. The thing is, you see, there is nothing about ourselves that God doesn't already know. If we think by avoiding intimacy with God that we're able to keep things from God, then we are only deluding ourselves. You see, in the first book of the Bible, right back in Genesis, we read of the close relationship that God had with God's people. God walked with them in the garden. They were naked before God, but felt no shame or fear. We enjoyed fearless intimacy with God. And then we decided that we knew best, that we knew better than God. We wanted knowledge. We wanted to be in charge, so we disobeyed the one command we'd been given. And what was the first effect of that disobedience we read in Genesis? We were ashamed, and we tried to hide our nakedness, to cover up, and we hid from God when he came walking in the garden. God called out to us, and we were afraid and ashamed. Our guilt and shame disrupted that fearless intimacy, and a chasm opened up between us and our Creator, and we were cut off from the source of our life. But God didn't leave us there. God sent messenger after messenger, made promise after promise that if we would only trust God and walk in the way that we'd been shown, we could enjoy that intimacy again. We could be free from the shame and the guilt. But we would not. We could not. So God in Jesus came to us. How much more intimate can you get than being in a mother's womb, nurtured there for 9 months before coming to birth? God breaking through all those barriers, sharing created life with us. God, Jesus, one of us, continuing in perfect intimate relationship with Father God. And in the end, Jesus was stripped naked and hung on a cross in front of the whole world so that we could be forgiven. Our shame and guilt washed away, and we can be free of any fear of standing naked before God, walking naked with God just as we are, because we know that we are loved and welcomed. Yes, there are still parts of our lives that need restoring. We're not yet perfect, at least I'm not. But there are still areas of our lives in which we defy God. We need to repent and be forgiven. But as we open ourselves up to God, as we allow the Holy Spirit to show us and work in us so they get sorted, we don't need to be afraid. There is nothing about us that God doesn't know completely already. There is nothing about us that God doesn't see. And there's nothing about what we've done or who we are that can stop God loving us. There is nothing to fear. But it's not always easy, is it? Unlearning the patterns of life and thought that keep us from intimacy with God. So that is why we're going to spend so much time on it. We're going to spend a couple of months on it in a variety of situations. We're going to have teaching and opportunities to explore it in sermons like this on a Sunday morning. We're going to have explore different aspects of it in our small groups. And if you're not in a small group and you'd like to be, at least for the duration of the next couple of months as we go through Intimate with the Ultimate, let me know. Put you in a group, in discussion and in doing exercises together. You all have the opportunity to buy the book and read it if you want to. We still haven't had the delivery from the publishers, which is really annoying. So if you want to pray for something this week, pray that the books turn up. But they are available on secondhand book websites and things like that. If you just search Intimate with the Ultimate. And so far, everybody's received one, said they've got pristine copies. So there you go. Good opportunity to do that. Our Ignite services starting next Saturday evening are going to be shaped around intimacy with God for the next couple of months. Opportunities just come and spend some time and soak and be aware of God's presence. And then as we come to the end on it, on the first weekend of April, Gerard and Chrissy Kelly, who wrote this book, who run head up the Bless Network, which many of us have been involved in over the years, are going to come and spend a weekend with us. So they're going to spend a day on the Saturday, so get that in your diaries now. And then they're going to come and speak on the Sunday morning as well. We have plenty of opportunities over the next couple of months to really explore and find out and deepen our intimacy with God. Now, our Bible readings this morning were themed around prayer and the ways in which Jesus encouraged and taught his disciples to pray. And then the request from Paul to the church in Colossae, to the Christians who met in that town, to pray for him. At our home group this week, at our small group, we'd finished one set of material a week early, and we couldn't start the Ultimate with the Intimate yet, so we had an annoying one-week break. I don't know if you ever have those in your small groups. We had an annoying one-week break. So we thought we'd just have a free-for-all. Just bring difficult questions, and we'd just have a chat about them, all that kind of thing. And one of the members of my group wrote to me and said, "Does all prayer need to be structured and well thought out? Are there rules to praying?" And actually, with their agreement, we put a pin in that question because I'm hoping, it's one of my desires for the next couple of months, that as we explore intimacy with God over the next few months, we will find the answers to those questions together. It seems to me that prayer is conversation with God that flows out of our intimacy with God. Prayer is a conversation with God that flows out of our intimacy with God. You see, we hear Jesus teach us to pray, "Our Father." And he uses all those illustrations that we heard that are based around family life. If you are wicked, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will God give? Intimate family scenarios that illustrate God's love for us and our relationship with God. So as we go through the coming weeks, we're going to be thinking about walking with Jesus, working with Jesus, and watching Jesus. And as I was reflecting on that, I was thinking, that's why I used that story earlier on this morning, that actually walking with someone, working with someone, and watching someone, whatever area of life we're talking about, these are all things that we can do that build relationships. Opportunities for intimacy to deepen. And prayer is the conversation that happens while we do these things. Prayer is the conversation that happens, just happens, as we walk with Jesus, we work with Jesus, we watch Jesus. As we walk with Jesus, we discover that prayer is relational and rhythmic, has a rhythm. As we work alongside Jesus, our prayer is restless, rich and reciprocal. As we watch Jesus, our prayer becomes both rooted and revolutionary. And we're going to be exploring all those R's over the coming weeks. So I'm really looking forward to what God has for us over the next couple of months. I believe that he's inviting us, each of us, and us as a whole church, to a relationship of deeper intimacy. And part of this will be opening up to God. Part of it will be opening up to each other. And that might feel risky. But I really believe that as we step out in faith, we will discover that we are held more securely by one who loves us more deeply than we can ever imagine. Our ultimate creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Amen.